There has been a group of so-called theologians who founded an organization known as the Jesus Seminar. This 200 or so lost and conceited souls made a point of meeting in different cities throughout the United States in order to maximize publicity. The purpose of the Jesus Seminar is very simple. It is to determine which words that are in the Gospels are truly said by Jesus or which words were not. If the debate gets bogged down or heated and discussion didn't go as far as they wanted to go, so they stop the debate and they vote. And the way they vote, not by a voice, but by a color chip. So let us say a group of them were so convinced that a given sentence was never made by Jesus, only put there by Matthew, Luke, John, or Mark. So they put down, let's say, a red chip. And then if some were in doubt, not sure really it was said or was not said, and they put down a green chip. And then those who were absolutely certain that these words were never said by Jesus, they'll cast down the blue chips. Then they tally the colors. And whichever color got the most number, that would be their conclusion. These do-gooders arrogate the authority upon themselves to tell us what really Jesus said and did not say. They're actually deciding by voting with different color chips what are truly the words of Jesus and what are not. I believe if the Apostle Paul is writing to us today, he would have probably said, "Why are you surprised? I have dealt with the ancestors of these jokers. It's in the book." And now Paul goes into the root of why they are confused, why they are divided in this latter part of chapter 1 into chapter 2. And Paul is telling us that man's wisdom is God's foolishness. Man's wisdom is God's foolishness. You say, how come? I'll put it another way. God's wisdom appears to the natural mind as foolishness, and yet it's our only hope. What Paul is doing in this passage here, the thrust of this passage is this. He is contrasting the foolishness of men, which is God's wisdom. The ancient Greeks, like so many in the Western church today, they were in love with philosophy. They were in love with different point of views. They were in love with varieties of ideas. In fact, their whole culture was built on philosophy. Some historians have identified as many as 50 different philosophical schools of thought in Greece at this time. How similar it is to the babbling that we hear in our culture today. Each group of all kinds of offbeat so-called theologians have their own view of God. They have their own view of creation. They have their own view of what is a Christian. They have their view of what constitutes good. They have their own view of what Christianity means. They have their own view of what is acceptable to God and what is not. Philosophy. Two Greek words, phileo means love, sophia, which means wisdom, love of wisdom. They were in love with human wisdom. What do I mean by human wisdom? Any worldview that is man-invented and not biblically founded. And that is why today, as absolutes have been thrown out of the schools, as absolutes have been thrown out of our society, as absolutes have been thrown out of our community, right and wrong has become a matter of one's opinion. What Paul was dealing with in Corinth nearly 2,000 years ago is what we're dealing with today in this very culture. There the Christians were coming into the church and bringing with them their philosophical school of thought into the church. Paul is saying the church should clean you out of all that thought to think godly. And just as Paul dealt with that in his day, it is incumbent upon every Bible-believing Christian to deal with this in our culture and not run away from it. Godly ministers and godly lay people, lay leaders of every stripe, we are to say to our culture, get over your love with human wisdom. Get over your love with secular humanism. It can only cause division and heartache. Get over your love with humanistic influence. We need to say it and say it over again. that anything that disagrees with the Word of God is wrong, and anything that agrees with the Word of God is right. We need to tell those in the church that if they were truly born of the Spirit of God, then the Spirit must testify within them that the Word of God is true. We need to tell our world that secular wisdom, humanistic wisdom, will offer you nothing but division, nothing but confusion, nothing but civil war, and nothing but heartache. New philosophical theories come and go. New ideas are a dime a dozen, and they're always changing. New concepts are constantly appearing and disappearing. But the Word of God that stood the test of time stands forever. Yet so many in the church hierarchy today are more concerned about people's opinion of the Word of God than the truth of the Word of God itself. Human wisdom, which epitomized in philosophy, has always been contradictory to and in opposition to the Word of God. No wonder Paul tells us, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Why? Because without exception, all human wisdom elevates itself and lowers God. Without exception, all human wisdom exchanges God's truth for man's lie. Without exception, all human wisdom elevates self-will, elevates pride, elevates independence from God, and de-escalates God's wisdom and God's absolutes. Without exception, human wisdom involves human effort. You know why? Because by nature, we do not want to just receive, simply receive by faith. That is the essence, the heart of the Christian faith. It's like the man who was sitting under a walnut tree, looking over a patch of pumpkin vines. And then he said to himself, how foolish God is. He puts the big, heavy pumpkin on a tiny vine that has no strength whatsoever. But he puts this tiny little walnut in a big tree, the branch of which can hold the man's weight. How foolish God is. If I created the world out of reverse order, all that was well and good until one of the walnuts fell on his head, and all of a sudden, he thought again and he said, well, I'm sure glad it wasn't a pumpkin. I am not suggesting for a moment that when you become a Christian that you have the answer to everything that is need to be known. I thank God for science. I thank God for technology. I thank God for medicine. I thank God for medical science. Every time I walk into a hospital to visit somebody, I give thanks to God for medicine and especially for Christian doctors and nurses. But that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about, and I believe the Apostle Paul is talking about, God giving us answer to the things that man has no answers for. The Apostle Paul is talking about God giving us answers to the ultimate meanings of life, to the ultimate purpose of life. I believe the Apostle Paul is talking about God giving us answer to the source of peace, the source of joy, the source of fulfillment, and the source of contentment in life. As Christians, we must never, never be afraid of intellectual arguments and debate. As Christians, we must never be afraid to stand our ground. After all, we have the most intellectual book that is ever written, authored by the greatest mind that's ever existed, the Holy Spirit Himself. And we as Christians must never be afraid to reason. In fact, it was Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, who said that Christ does not destroy reason, he dethrones it. Paul said that he is dealing basically with two groups of people. He's got a group that is represented by the unbelieving Jews. They always want a miracle a minute. They want magic. They want divine action all the time, at whim, and whenever they want it. Paul said, God doesn't work this way. And then there's a group of Gentiles represented in the Greek philosophers and the Greek culture. And they were seeking after pseudo-intellectualism. What they were seeking after is the intellectual mumbo-jumbo that you see on television that comes on all the time. All the talk shows. They said they were seeking after the truth. At least that's what they claim. But in reality, what they were doing, I'll tell you what they were doing because I understand a little bit about philosophy. I've got a doctorate in the subject. And therefore, I can explain it, to explainify it to you very carefully. What it is like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat. That is not there. And after 5 years of this stuff, somebody asked me if I'm interested in teaching it. I said, I've had enough looking for black cats that are not there. In verse 22 and 23, Paul said, for the Jew ask after sign and the Greek seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. When man thinks with human wisdom, before the Holy Spirit enlightens him or her and opens their spiritual eyes, they see the cross of Christ to be foolishness to them. And think about it just for a minute. Try to put yourself in their place. When man thinks of human wisdom, he cannot fathom the cross. That God became man, hung on a cross, then 3 days later he rose again, and then he's ascended in heaven. And that is the only way that we're going to get to heaven is through him. One man dying on a cross on top of a garbage heap outside of Jerusalem is going to determine the destiny of every human being that ever lived on the face of the earth. To human wisdom, it doesn't make sense. To the natural mind, it does not make sense. And this redemptive act of God sounds moronic to the natural mind. If you ever debated with somebody, you'll understand what I'm talking about. If you ever talked with somebody who's got their natural mind all kept in their head, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's moronic. Human wisdom cannot understand the cross. Human wisdom cannot comprehend the cross. To the natural mind, whether it's Jew or Gentile, the cross is offensive. It is unacceptable. What we are facing today is precisely what Paul was facing in Corinth. And we better be equipped to be able to give answers to the faith that lays within us. And what Paul was facing in Corinth is what Isaiah the prophet was facing 700 years before Paul. I told you nothing new. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Human wisdom is not only unreliable, but one day God is going to destroy it altogether. While we are thankful for science and thankful for technology, but by the same token, I want to ask you, to ask yourselves, yes, today we have more education than our forebears ever had, but are we more moral? Today we have more wealth than our forebears had, but are we less selfish? Today we have more books and communication and relationships of all kinds. Just look in bookstores and you'll see what I mean. But are we getting along better than they did? We have more psychology and more education than they've ever dreamt of. But do we have less crimes and less violence in our society today? Ask yourself these questions. And the answer has to be that throughout history, human wisdom has never, never solved humanity's problems. In verse 20, Paul said, where are the wise men of today? Isaiah back then was referring to the wise men of Egypt with all their soothsayers and all their wizardry who promised the earth and delivered nothing. That's what he was talking about in the original content. Where are the debaters of this day? They argue and debate all day long, but how many minds have they changed? How many problems have they solved? How many homeless have they housed? How many crimes have they prevented? Had the Apostle Paul been living and writing to us today, he would have said, where are your professors? Where are your experts? Where are your sociologists? Where are your psychologists? Where are your economists? Where are your scientists? Where are your statesmen today? Human wisdom may show us the problems, and that's what they do. Human wisdom may expose the cause of the problem. Human wisdom may explain the symptoms of the problems. But human wisdom is incapable of defining the root of the problem. Because the root of the problem is sin. They may tell us that selfishness results in injustice, but they can never tell us how to deal with selfishness. They may tell us that hatred is the root cause of racism, but can never tell us how to wash away hatred. Only the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is foolishness to the human wisdom, is the power of God unto salvation. Only the cross can answer the individual problems, can answer societal problems. Sometimes I wish if only just for a moment, these so-called experts would only acknowledge for a moment that the root cause of our problem is sin and name it as such. I wish only once for a moment they would acknowledge that only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash away individuals and society from sin and give you power over it. We will have revival in our day. But the opposite seemed to be happening. They would call it everything else except what it is, sin. The opposite seemed to be happening. The more knowledge increases, the less inclined we are to acknowledge that the root cause of our problem is sin. The more we increase courses on ethics and morality and morals, the more severe our problems become. The more we ram political correctness down the throat of our society, the worse our society gets. You'd ask Paul, great apostle, how can anyone exchange their foolishness for God's wisdom? He would answer, only when human wisdom declares its bankruptcy and turns in faith to Jesus Christ. And we must not be intimidated by these sophomoric, half-baked thinkers. We must never withdraw from the public arena, whether it be in politics or education. We have the answer, and His name is Jesus. Paul is saying in verse 21, he is not talking about foolish preaching here, which we seem to get plenty of these days, but he's telling us about the preaching of that which is foolishness in the eyes of the world. Preaching the cross is foolishness in the eyes of the world. Do you know why God's wisdom is seen as foolishness? I'll tell you why. Because it allows no place for man's wisdom. Because it allows no place for man's glory. Because it allows no place for man's effort and man's ingenuity. And that is why Paul said that only those who humble themselves before God will receive that godly wisdom. So what is the rich man and the poor man who are in Christ Jesus have in common? What do they have in common? Paul said, they both have acknowledged their spiritual bankruptcy without Jesus Christ. What does the educated and the simple have in common when they are both in Christ Jesus? Paul said they both acknowledged their own intellectual bankruptcy. And they cannot save themselves. You know, most of you have read and you know that there are forces in this culture that are rewriting history books. They're taking truth and facts out, putting junk in. And there are people who are trying to say that our forebears were never really dependent on God. They've just studied all the models of all the democracies and all that's going on in the world, and they came up with this particular nation called America. But the fact speaks in contrary of that. When the distinguished delegates gathered in 1787, and they gathered to revise the Articles of the Confederation. Few weeks have passed in discussion and reviewing ancient history. They went all the way back trying to find a model that America could copy. But after weeks of struggling, and they could not find a truly good model for their infant nation, finally one of the distinguished delegates by the name of Benjamin Franklin addressed the convention. After making reference to the total lack of progress, he said, in this situation of this assembly, we are groping, as it were, in the dark to find political truth and scarcely able to distinguish it when it is presented to us. How has it happened that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of light to illumine our understanding. End of the quote. And then the assembly gathered in prayer. When they finally abandoned human wisdom, when they discovered the bankruptcy of human wisdom and sought the wisdom of God, God gave them the greatest, most prosperous democracy that the world has ever known. It is time for us to do the same.
Thanks for listening to this message from Dr. Michael Youssef, recently featured on Leading the Way. If you'd like to know more about us, please visit ltw.org. That's ltw.org.